Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Attention, collectors of vinyl. Have you ever gone into a record store and felt overwhelmed by all the unfamiliar options? Are you frustrated by the constantly increasing prices of classic rock staples? Do you avoid streaming music or long for the days when music was recommended to you by a friend instead of an algorithm? If the answer to any of these questions is yes, then check out I'd Buy That for a Dollar, a podcast about inexpensive, common, and underappreciated records that are waiting to be rediscovered. Each week, hosts Sean, Jeremy, and Peter discuss an album and the artist's history. Previous episodes include selections by the Isley Brothers, the Carpenters, the Doobie Brothers, and Donna Summer, among others. Become a bargain bin pro and impress all your friends with cool music trivia. Listen to I'd Buy That for a Dollar wherever you get your podcasts. This week, the Bookshelf Cinema is screening Woman in Gold. Welcome to Me, a pigeon sat on a branch reflecting on existence and more. And at the E-Bar, Fragments and DJ Red Lion perform on Friday, July 3rd. The Bookshelf is an independently owned cultural hub located at 41 Quebec Street in Guelph. For more information about their hours, listings, blogs, and accessibility, please visit bookshelf.ca.
Creative Control with Vish Kamath.
Just before we get to this episode, let's take a look at the old Patreon.com Creative Control tote board and see if we have any updates. I think the last time I checked, we were at 34 patrons and $193 per month. Again, the goal is to reach $500 a month in Patreon pledges by the end of August, and or else the show stops. The show just stops what it's doing. It doesn't exist anymore. So that's the goal. And right now we are at... we're still at 34 patrons at $193. There's been no movement since the last time I checked in on this. So if you are on the fence, please pick a side. If you want to see the show continue, please consider pledging something, a monthly amount. It could be anything. It could be a dollar. It could be $4, $8. There's a bunch of... suggestions. What do I have here? Yeah, $1, $4, $8, $30, $50, $100 per month. If you want to pledge something, that would be great. Are there incentives? We can do promotional ads for you if you pledge a certain amount. We are in the process of creating t-shirts for the show. If you like, I can maybe get you tickets to something. You can figure it out. You just got to pledge. So please consider pledging. We want to get to $500 a month to keep the show going. On this episode, Jose Miguel Contreras from By Divine Right is on the program to talk about his band's 25th anniversary. They are playing a big show on Canada Day here in Canada, July 1st at the Harbourfront Center. It's a big all-star show celebrating every iteration of By Divine Right, and it should be really fun. I'm going to be there. Apparently, I'm doing something there. MCing, I think. I really don't know. No one has told me anything. So I'll be there for that. And also, the band is also playing the Hillside Festival at the end of July. July 24th weekend in Guelph. So, seemed like a nice time to catch up with Jose, and it was an insightful, interesting chat. I hope you feel the same as me, having just said that. So this is it. Myself, Jose Contreras, and you'll hear some new or newish By Divine Right music as well. And that's the deal. Here it is, myself and Jose. Hey, this week's episode is brought to you by Pizza Trocadero. For my money, the best pizza you can eat in Guelph, Ontario. A proud, independent family business run by a punk rocker, Trocadero only uses a rich array of fresh ingredients, cut by hand, and homemade dough made daily, all baked to perfection inside of a stone oven. It's gourmet panzerotti, calzones, wings, salads, garlic bread, breadsticks, and oh man, the pizza, personally, I like the gourmet Domateo with goat cheese, artichoke, roasted red pepper, mushrooms. I sub out the turkey breast for eggplant, but that's just me. Wash the whole thing down with a brio? Man, I am getting hungry just talking about this. Call Pizza Trocadero at 519-829-2444. Visit them at 7 Municipal Street in Guelph and online at trocaderoguelph.ca. TROKADERO GUELPH.ca. That's Pizza Trocadero, a place of the good trade. Jose Contreras is a multi-instrumentalist, producer, actor, film composer, and an amazing songwriter currently based in Toronto. Contreras is best known as the only consistent member of By Divine Right, a tremendously significant band whose list of past and present contributors include Feist and musicians who went on to form Broken Social Scene, Holy Fuck, and Sheezer, among many others. By Divine Right's first show took place in June 1990, and on July 1st, they celebrate their 25th anniversary with a big all-star concert at Toronto's Harbourfront Centre, featuring past and current members and other special guests. By Divine Right are also returning to Guelph's Hillside Festival on the weekend of July 24th, and they'll release a new record this year as well, apparently. Here now to discuss this further is Jose Contreras. Hi, Jose. How are you?
Muy bien, Vish. Buenas noches.
Nice to speak with you. Where are you? What are you doing?
I am in bed. No, I'm not in bed. I'm in my room in Toronto. I'm just sitting on my bed, kind of like as if I was in university. Talking on the phone. And that's what I'm doing. I'm just hanging out here. I've just been running around. I'm between rehearsals.
Yeah, you've been. I imagine you've been rehearsing a lot with this big show coming up.
It has. Yeah, I have been. It's been really sweet. Very, very sweet times. Sometimes... One could face rehearsals with a certain amount of dread and wondering how much work it's going to be, but it just hasn't been work. It's just been really very, very lovely.
Now, when you say you've been rehearsing, I imagine you need to do some, freshening up. You need to bone up a little bit on some of your old stuff, but...
Ayo.
Yeah, there you go. I freshen and bone. Why not?
I like to refresh my bone often. That's terrible. Sorry.
And, but I was going to say, I assume you're mostly... Because you've got such a long list of... people who have been in the band and are going to participate with this event, you're mostly bringing them back up to speed? Is that what's going on?
Yeah, just like, well, right now we're at 18 or 19, 20, 20 people participating in the Canada Day show, which is, and there's only three of us in the band currently, so it's like 17 or 16 Yeah, so, and there's a few different lineups playing. So it's like in some of these cases, and a lot of them, we haven't played together in years and years and years. So, yeah, it's been really cool just to like figure out the our little mini sets and who's doing what and remembering how the song's going. A lot of talking, like a lot of just laughing our little asses off.
Right.
Sometimes big asses. So we, you know, it's like the first time we've been in a room together in decades, some of us. So it's, we have a real laugh and it's been very sweet. It's also very wonderful to see the lack of bad blood. There just isn't any. You know, either we're all brain dead or just whatever went down just doesn't matter anymore.
Now, the band has primarily always been something of a 3 or 4 piece band. No, it's expanded. It's actually, it's grown. It's been all sorts of things. You're the only consistent member. Can you kind of sum up why you think there have been so many different lineups of what you call By Divine Right?
Well, I mean, originally, the first By Divine Right cassette was just me by myself with my friend who played drums on one song who went on to become my manager in classic high school fashion. He was like, nah, I'll be your manager, bro. I'm like, cool. And so then, like, you know, I had like some, the very first lineup was just high school friends and my girlfriend. And although that lineup survived for a while, you know, we kind of sucked for like the, people always liked it, but I thought we kind of sucked for like five or 6 years. And it was when I knew what I was doing 6 years in that people started paying attention, maybe outside of my circle of friends. And, but as far as like, I kind of knew what I wanted to do. It, and I never really super clicked with everyone in my band aesthetically. So it was always sort of like putting it together for a little something. And I myself wasn't very good either. And I wasn't very good communicator. I was kind of a man child. I hit puberty like at 30. And the photographic evidence supports this. So I'm not really sure. Like in the end, like people came and went. Like I always, you know, I wasn't lucky. I'm not like that person who was like, yes. And I grew up with these three guys and gal. And then we became a band. And then we were, you know, I didn't have that. I'm an immigrant. So maybe my actual real band would have been in Chile.
Right.
And you know, the thing is there were years where I thought like it was a positive thing when people couldn't stay in the band or be like, I can't do this tour. For me, I'd be like, awesome. Now I can tweak the arrangements again into what I want them to be.
You say, at one point you said that some people you just didn't get along with or you didn't share aesthetic values, but how would they end up in a band with you if you didn't have that?
I never auditioned anyone. Or maybe nowadays I maybe auditioned a few, but like originally it would just be like, hey, okay, you're in. I'd be like, do you want to do this? Yes. Okay, you're in. And then, it worked. And it doesn't. And maybe that was a bit of the sort of the laissez-faire, attitude of the time, right? Like, and then the funny thing is that there was a few people over the years that were crucial, even though it wasn't. When they moved on, it was fine. The band stayed fine, but you know that right now with Lish and Jordy, this is now the longest standing lineup of By Divine Right ever, which is wild, right?
Yeah.
We're coming up on 5 years this summer since the first time I played with Jordy, and then in November it'll be 5 years with Lish. We're starting our third album. They toured an album. We did two albums, the second of which is about to come out, and we're about to start working on our third album together, also unprecedented. No lineup ever made more than one or toured more than one and made one. You know, we never
I can hear you freaking out as you describe this.
Am I freaking out? Yeah, I mean, well, the thing is, I'm also, like, not a guy. I never liked being stuck. I always liked telling people, it's like, I don't like to be held on to too tight. I won't hold on too tight to you, but don't hold on too tight to me.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, I was sad when some people left or when it didn't work out. And also, I was very happy when some people left. But whereas now with Lish and Jordy, it's just different. I mean, it feels like BDR to me, and all the biggest BDR nerds are like very happy with this BDR as we are. We love each other. We love hanging out together. And honestly, like I can't see another lineup past this.
Yeah.
So it is a kind of a change, you know. And now that I've got my solo thing kind of going, and I just finished my second solo record. An EP just came out, but I just finished recording a new one.
Nice.
For next year. And it's like, if I play drums on a song, it's just not a By Divine Right song anymore. Whereas for years, it'd be like I played all the instruments on lots of recordings.
Yeah, I want to get to that. I want to get to that in a little bit. You've mentioned that Alicia and Jordy are currently in the band, and they've been in the band the longest, longer than anyone else has ever been a member of By Divine Right besides yourself.
There's a couple members that have been in as long as them, and one longer, but never has one lineup lasted this long.
Okay, sorry. Thanks.
Nor made this many records.
Right.
Mark Olstein, my original drummer, is still the longest standing drummer. That's just probably because we were 20 and a bit kind of brain dead. By the time he was like 29, he was like, right, there's other things for me to do.
Yeah, the first time I ever saw By Divine Right was in Guelph at the Brass Taps opening up 3 nights for Change of Heart.
I remember that show.
And Mark, I went to all 3 of them. And Mark was on drums, and I think Brendan Canning was playing bass.
Brendan Canning was on bass, yeah.
Yeah, that was a good lineup of that thing. Now, so my point here is, we talked about who's in it now, and you mentioned that you made the first tape by yourself. Who was in the very first version of By Divine Right, though, as a band?
Our first live show would have been me, Mark Olstein, Liz Teer, the only other thing that she did afterwards is she played in Bobby Wiseman's band.
Okay.
Afterwards. And Steve Berman, a.k.a. Stevie B, of Stevie B, DVP, BTME, please, fame. We were from Thornhill, so we took the DVP a lot.
Oh, I see.
But anyways, you know who was there? Ian Burton was at our first show. We it was an Elvis Monday, and we opened for Guru Religion, who was just at the height of their powers in 1990. They were unbelievable. Glenn Milchen was on drums. Johnny Bohr on bass. No, I think at that point it was Scott B on bass. But anyways, like, we were pretty blown away. But Ian Blurton was there. He was the drummer in a band called Union Tractor Pull.
Okay.
And I remember he came up and goes, "You guys are great," and introduced himself. You know, I thought he was a drummer for years.
Oh wow, that's interesting.
But we were shit. We were terrible. There's a picture of me at my set at the second BDR show, and I'm wearing shorts and Birkenstocks.
Well, that shouldn't have any bearing on how you sounded as a band.
Yeah, I just want you to know that's how far I was from really having it together.
Okay. All right, okay, that's fair. All right, so that was the first version of the band, and how did that band come about?
It's so funny. It's so high school. I guess I made this demo, and it got around. It got passed around my group of friends. And then, like, Mark Goldstein was kind of a ballsy guy. We'd been kind of stoner buddies on and off in high school. And he was like, "I love your tape, man. You're better than Stevie B." And he could barely play drums, but he had a lot of balls. So he was noisy. And he wasn't trying to sound 80s, which at the time was really important to me.
Okay.
He kind of like played like Keith Moon if Keith Moon couldn't play.
Okay.
He was like all over the map.
Yeah, Mark.
And it was just...
I liked his drumming.
Yeah, there was just something really... I mean, we played a lot of shows with the Inbreds.
Right.
You know what I mean? It worked.
Right, right. Okay, so Mark was in the band. Who was the first person to ever leave By Divine Right?
I guess it would have been Stevie B. You know what happened? Stevie B was in the band. He was our lead guitar player, and he had a job. He was the only guy with a job at a bank. And so we used to jam without him, and we'd jam without him but pretend he was there. This is like 90, 91.
Yeah.
We were so young, right?
Yeah.
And then we stopped pretending he was there, and I started playing more guitar. And all of a sudden, we kind of started sounding cooler.
Hmm.
And then he'd come back and jam, and it just didn't sit right. And then we basically talked with him, and I just pointed out that he was focused on his career. I mean, it was mutual, but we wanted him to go, and he wasn't ready to commit, and we weren't even a real band. It wasn't like we're going on tour. It was more like, yeah, we have a gig next Thursday at Clinton's.
Yeah.
You know, at 9 p.m. But as soon as he left, and the three of us, that's sort of like maybe the very first time that people took note. You know what I mean? Like a couple of articles in the paper, and like people like William New was like, "Fuck, you know, your band's getting really good," you know? And And we kind of knew. I kind of knew at that point. I was like, you know, I was seeing other bands and I was like, we're onto something. You know, it was still a few years away from really getting good.
Okay. Now, in terms of when you seem to have wanted some people to leave, some people left and you weren't so happy about that. Did you ever consider dissolving By Divine Right?
The only time I've seriously considered dissolving By Divine Right is right now. And in the sense that what I've told Lish and Jordy, no pressure, but I just want you guys to know that like that I would be hard pressed to replace them.
Oh wow.
I'd be like and the freedom that Lee Maslin gave me by jumpstarting my solo career is that like I can still make records and it feels like I'm still connecting with people through that. And I just love the chemistry with Lish and Jordy. I just really, really do. We love each other and the sound is right. Cause right now we're like humble. There's like a humble vibe when we play. It's not this big epic fucking thing. It just feels really down to earth and therefore more lethal. Right. And when we're on, it feels really, really kind of crucial what we're doing. And so that's the only time I've ever considered like that. I could see it not.
I mean, I've seen the band a bunch in many different iterations, and I was listening to your latest album over the last couple of days, and it's so killer. It makes me think that some of us take you guys for granted a little bit.
Thanks, man. You know, I felt like I've had the same certain angles. Although I don't know any names, like that, I got the same review every record, no matter what. Be like, you know, like. Sunshiny pop, you know, meanwhile, like if my lyrics are all about falling apart.
Yeah.
And, thanks for saying that. I mean, it's, you know, like I'm 45. Okay. Like in a way I'm into unprecedented rock and roll territory because I'm supposed to be beyond like totally irrelevant. And I largely am, but at the same time, also my art's supposed to be getting kind of more and more predictable. And I feel like maybe it isn't.
Yeah, no, it isn't.
I don't know. Maybe.
No, I agree.
And so so maybe that's why, you know, like, you know, I remember being 20, really caring a lot about music and thinking of someone who was 26 was just like, it's over for you, buddy.
No, I mean, every time I've seen the band in the last couple of years and I've had the opportunity to see you guys in like St. John's, Newfoundland and Toronto.
That was
and
pretty amazing.
Guelph
yeah.
and Halifax, I think, or somewhere. Anyway, it's always really stunning how great this particular version of the band is. So I can see why you're hoping it continues. Now, I'm curious, how would you compare Toronto's underground music scene when By Divine Right started to what it's like now? And also, what's the difference between the internet in 1990 and the internet now?
Wow, that's so amazing. Well, in 1990 in Toronto, it was really small, you know? And it's funny to say because I feel like that guy was like that corner over there, you know, sure. that where there's now like huge buildings. I'm totally that guy when I talk to people. But, you know, like our first show was at the Apocalypse, which is where Convento Rico is at college near Ossington.
Okay.
That was so far west. Like we had to like, we were like, where's Bathurst? Bathurst is so far west from Yonge Street, man. It's like, okay, you go to Bathurst and you have to go even further. And it was kind of scary. It was kind of small. There weren't that many clubs. And also, you know, like there were some bands in Toronto that were really, really great. And it just seemed like no one was ever going to get out of Toronto. It never crossed my mind that anyone would ever have a kind of international career if you were from Toronto. You had to leave.
Yeah.
And I'd seen so many great bands that nothing had happened for. I assumed it wasn't until like Hayden's record, his first record. Because I went to high school with Hayden, and then and then when the Inbreds made Combinator, our other dear friends, that I realized, wait a minute, this can actually happen. Okay, good. I'm going to try now too.
Yeah,
and that's kind of when I broke up the band, but only in the sense that I was like, okay, guys, I know what I'm doing. So either you're in or you're out.
And then, so what iteration followed this realization?
You know what? Well, you know, I'm so glad you asked because to me, the huge unsung hero in the story, and again, it's like, it's just my little story, right? Is James Ogilvy from Guelph.
Nice.
Who interviewed me, so watch out. He called me to review my first CD. and we chatted for an hour, and then we chatted for another hour, and then we started chatting about music. And then I was like, so what do you play? And he goes, guitar, but lately I've been playing a lot of bass. And I was like, that's interesting because I need a bass player. And then we chatted some more. And by the time we got off the phone, he joined the band.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And I'd never met him. Oh, no, I apparently had met him like in Cambridge or something. So then we jammed and instantly the band turned. Instantly. Huh. It was instantly because he was the first member that I ever had that looked at me and went, cool song. What do you want me to play? Before that, it was always like this antagonistic sort of high school thing. And then
just for context here, James Ogilvy is a guy that I met in Guelph in 1996, I would have met him.
Yeah, that was the year he was in the band.
That's right. And the reason Jim Guthrie and Simon Osborne and a bunch of people who played music in town went to see By Divine Right was because of your connection to James. But I didn't know, I remember this distinctly, like, oh, it's James's friend, and James used to be in that band, but I didn't really put two and two together until just now.
Yeah, and I mean, James brought the aspect of not the part, but the sound. Hmm. So he wasn't like obsessed with like needing to find some cool bass part so that he felt like a legitimate human being. But like he just wanted to find a cool sound. And that's where I was at too. So finally I had like a sort of like a an ally, you know what I mean? And I wasn't yet a good communicator, and maybe at the time enough to make that happen. And so the three of us, that was the first time that it was like every time we played a show, it went awesome. Hmm. And it eventually to the point where it was like, it just, we were touring a lot in Michigan at the time and all over Ontario. The first sort of known, we'd already been on the cover of Exclaim, and that version had broken up. And so it seemed like we were over, but like we knew we were onto something, and it was a really, that's the lineup that put together what became All Hail Discordia. So it was, that was arranged with James, me, James and Mark arranged that together. We lived in Erin, and that's where I met Jim Guthrie and all those guys, Simon, Gentleman Reg, all those guys, Nancy, yeah. Stu Gunn, all those people I met that year.
Now, James, I presume, left the band because he didn't like touring, or what happened there?
Again, like, all I can say is give props to James. You know, at the end of that year, we were going into Make All Hail. He'd just gotten a job, and he'd moved out of his mom's house. And I was like, you know, either you're in or you're out. And he goes, and it was, to both of us, it was obvious that it was going to go well.
Yeah.
Which is sounds very cocky, but it was like, and he was like, you know, I love you, and... But I need this job, and so I'm gonna take this job. And he took the job.
Oh, okay.
And that was it. And then and we knew, like, it's funny. I remember the conversation. It was just obvious what was gonna happen, and we both knew. And whereas, like, you know, like not to say that there's anything wrong, but a lot of people were like, "Hey, it's gonna go well. Can I be in your band?"
Right.
That, you know, I've heard that many times, but I never heard like, it's going to go really well, I'm going to step down.
Huh.
You know,
I guess that speaks to James's character. And so,
and he's gone on to do amazing work, right?
Yeah. The last I heard, he was doing, he's a sound engineer as well. And he was doing live sound. He did live sound for Arcade Fire and a bunch of people like that. And Nico Case, I think. And the last I heard, he might still be in England. Do you know where he is?
Yeah. I think he's in England. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's not flying home for this.
No, I wish he was. I mean, like the weird thing, right? That would be the one, if me, Mark, and James played, that would be the one lineup that might feel a little bit dirty.
Dirty?
You know what I'm saying?
You mean you'd be a bit turned on?
A little bit turned on. I'm turned on when I play with all of them. But that's sort of like the relationship that was like really healthy, really positive, nothing but positive.
Right. Okay. No, that's...
And we walked away from in a positive light. He did our sound. Last time we did our sound in Guelph in like 2005 2005.
Was that
at the Trashteria?
Oh, that wasn't the show that you did for... I did a show with you in Guelph at some point. No, it would have been after that. You're right.
It was after. That was 2009 or 2010. But that one, it was a funny version of BDR. That one was me on guitar, Derek Downham on drums, Mike Small from Mellowgrove on bass, and Colleen Hixabong on the other guitar, and he did sound at the Trash, and he was like, he was exuberant about it because that lineup was cool for that moment.
Was that with the Sadies?
No, but we did play with the Sadies another time with the Trash. Yeah.
Yeah, I played that show with you.
No way.
Yeah.
Who are you playing with?
My band was called the Neutron Stars.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It was like many years ago. I played. Yeah.
I remember that show. We were just talking about it. Did we make you like set your drums up front and like?
Yeah, there was something weird that went on. Yeah, I think so. Or maybe we shared drums. I can't remember.
Yeah, we were more sharers. So I was just kind of making a joke.
But. Yeah. No, nothing. I don't think anything weird happened. I remember Dallas Good said something weird to me about when I was like, "Hey, Dallas, how's it going?" Because I'd seen the band so many times, but I don't think he knew recognized me. And he said, like, I think he was asking me if I was bringing him drugs. That's what I think was going on, but I don't know if that's a fact.
I went to high school with Sean Dean.
Uh-huh.
And I just remember him. I didn't think we played very well that night. I think we played pretty shit. My memory of the Sadie shows being embarrassed in front of my high school buddy.
Oh.
And he came up and he goes, "Not a bad little rock show, ho." I just remember him saying that.
Sean's quite a character. I got to get him on the show. I haven't talked to him in a professional. I saw
he
him the other
hilarious.
Night. I saw him at the Blues Explosion show in Toronto recently.
What? The Blues Explosion played? You mean the John Spencer?
Yeah, that's right.
Holy cow. How was it?
It was amazing. Actually, I was listening to... What's the first song on your latest album called?
Past the Stars?
Yeah. Kind of vaguely reminded me of...
Oh, interesting. I
love that bass line. The bass is amazing in that song. Anyway. Okay. Thank you for explaining about the origin story there a little bit, but I want to keep going on that thread. What actually got you into music as a listener, as a player? Do you remember?
That's a real good. I just love music. Period. All the time. I have no memory of getting into it. I was already into it.
Were you born in Canada? I can't remember.
No, I was born in Chile. I was born in Viña del Mar, October 9th, 1969.
John Lennon's birthday.
It's true.
And Sean Lennon's birthday.
That's creepy.
Okay.
Planned C-section. Creepy.
So you
Yoko Ono's creepy.
She might be a little creepy, I suppose.
Yeah. I think like if I was in a relationship with someone who was really depressed, doing all sorts of bad drugs because he missed his best friends, I might like suggest they should hang out.
Yeah, not send him away.
Exactly. Be all like, right. We should invite your friends over. You seem really miserable these last 8 years.
Okay, so you have no memory of your first...
But I mean, like, the first music I would have gotten into would have been, like, classical music and Chilean folk music. And then I was really into the Monkees.
Yeah.
On TV, just because it was on TV. And then I remember, like, my brother and sister saying... You're going to like the Beatles. The Monkees suck. And I'd be like, fuck the Beatles. And then my dad brought home the Red Album, that Beatles Red Album. Like,
yeah, I had
a long
those.
Time ago.
I had those two greatest hits records, the Red and the Blue.
The Red and the Blue. Yeah.
Those are my first Beatles tapes.
Yeah. He brought them like in 76. We're immigrants. Maybe 77, 78. I got to Canada October 20th, 1974.
Uh-huh.
It was 40 years last year. And
wow.
And so sometime in the 70s, he brought it home, and it really did affect me huge. And you know how Chilean bands all have like 10 guys in the band, and a lot of them have beards and shit,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so when I got the Red Album.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
album, and you know how it's a double album. You open it up, right, and you see the four guys standing on the balcony on one side, and the four guys standing on the other side of the balcony.
Right, there's a shot, the exact same shot when they were really young, and the exact same shot as they had facial hair and hair. Yeah,
yeah. So I just thought there were eight guys in the band, and four of them had beards.
That's funny that those tapes messed you up in that way. Now that I think of it, the very first Beatles tape I ever owned was the Beatles ballads, but the next things were those red and blue tapes. And I tell you, because those were just like compilations, it screwed up the albums for me because I just knew those like tapes so well that I didn't even know they were albums until a couple of years later. And then I was like, it would screw up the sequencing for me in my head.
Yeah, many years later. Yeah. Yeah, I taped a lot of Beatles songs off the radio during a top 100 Beatles songs on Chum AM, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's the sequence that's in my head to this day.
Yeah, it's weird.
Whatever sequence they played. But that definitely jump-started me. It's funny also how huge the years, say, like from 1978 to 1982 or 83 are in my life, because that seems like a really, really long time. Mm-hmm. But I guess only 5 or 6 years later, I was in high school. And I was like, my first band was like, I was playing synthesizer and drum machine. Or the first band I imagined I was in and tried to get going. Nothing ever happened.
Now, you mentioned earlier that people, they always give you the same review, sunny, happy pop music. And you're like, yeah, but the lyrics are actually quite dark. But you do radiate a kind of positivity, I think. And I've often wondered where, even if you deny it, I think it's true. I think you like to have fun. And I
like to have a good time. It's true.
And I feel like that comes through in the music a little bit too. Does that stem from an upbringing or drugs? What is it?
I know what you mean. I attribute it to like brain damage or something, because there is, no matter what I'm going through, there's a sort of optimism.
Yeah.
Kind of innate optimism is beyond my control. I'm pretty grateful for it. Like, aside from the music, because life is enough of a challenge. So at least somehow I always feel kind of hopeful. My dad is pretty, I don't know, I feel like connected, and I mean, as of late, I've felt pretty lost a lot in my life. But as of late, I feel kind of like pretty clear with my purpose. And that, so ultimately, even though as your life and your body and your world falls apart, there seems to be like a purpose to it all.
Are you in a good state right now? You have a family and stuff?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm in a good state.
So that makes you feel good. I just know that when I see you in person, in particular, when you play music live, there's like, I wouldn't describe it as a switch, but you enter a zone. It's like a bliss zone or something.
I think I used to live in that bliss bubble a lot when I was younger, becoming more of a grown up and having kids and, being married and having your everything fall apart, all the different ways that, maybe that's where I get my bliss bubble back in my music. And for a while there, I was conflicted with it too. Hmm. I definitely feel set free. I don't know how it looked like 10 years ago.
Yeah. No, it does. I can just sense it. I feel good. I think people seeing the band these days leave feeling good about themselves and the experience. You know what I mean?
Oh, really? That's amazing. For a second, they leave feeling good about you. You're doing okay.
No, I think it's rare to see someone. I think some performers are too cool for school, but I think at the end of the day, you're getting up on stage to make some kind of difference in the people, seeing you. And I don't think it's heavy-handed, but I get the impression that it's a celebration when you're on stage.
Oh man, I'm too Thornhill to have this conversation seriously.
I don't even know what that means. What are the people in Thornhill like? Wait, isn't Gian Gomeshi from Thornhill?
Oh yeah, Gian Gomeshi. I went to high school with Gian.
Did you go to high school with him?
Yeah.
Was he a good
guy?
He
was older than me. Where do you really want to go down this road?
Was he a bad guy?
He was like, he was school president. He always really bugged me. He was nice to me when he had the time.
When
I first saw Gian Gomeshi, he was wearing the perfect new wave outfit. He looked exactly like John Taylor from Duran Duran. He had like the awesome hair with the blonde thing at the front and the fedora and the flowy white blouse, like kind of pirate shirt tucked into like pleated tweed pants that went down to the Peter Pan getaway boots.
Right.
You know what I mean?
That was your first impression of him.
Yeah, but you know, Sean Dean had like almost the same outfit too. Was I ever jealous of those fucking assholes? And plus, they could all play, right? And I totally couldn't.
So when the Gian stuff took place, the most recent scandal, did you have some insight? Were you one of the people being like, "Oh yeah, I saw that coming"?
I did not. No, I knew that he was weird, and I knew that he was like kind of smarmy.
Yeah.
But I also thought, you know, like, but I didn't know any of that other stuff. I know that he'd done questionable stuff like in his dating life, but who doesn't? You know, I'm not saying like, I'm not talking about questionable stuff like violence. I mean, questionable stuff like kind of creepy to someone or a bad ex or like, you know,
yeah,
you know,
I think I know what you mean. I don't know exactly. I mean, I think you mean that when relationships go sour, someone
I wouldn't be like, yeah, you should go out with that guy. I feel weird about it. Like a friend, I've had friends date him, but nothing weird bad happened to them that they'd ever said. But so I didn't know about the violent stuff. But he'd done weird stuff to me too, like just pretend to be my best friend, like when it was obviously not there. And I guess that's just him. This is before he was a journalist.
No, I think
he took out a little book. Took out a little book and wrote. Is this too much personal information?
No,
like, don't put this up.
No, it's
don't
fine.
Why not? Don't put this up. Okay, well, I mean, like, he took out a little book. He'd be like, "Hey, Jose, how's it going? When are you playing next?" And we'd be like, you know, I'm not sure why he's even asking me, you know, honestly.
Yeah.
And then we took out a little book and wrote it in great detail.
What do you mean?
Each time
he took out a little book. What do you? What
a little book, and then he would take little notes about where I was going to play.
Oh, I see. When you ran into, like, did you have much interaction with him since you?
Oh, but once in a while. I mean, like, he was yeah, I did. I had lots of interaction with him over the years because he was the president of my school. And
did you play Q? Did you play on his show?
I never played Q.
Okay.
No, but I played. Like, he started a show in my high school called Sway. And so in a way, like, yeah, like that show was the first time I played live in my high school band.
Oh,
we were the first, we were the first band that played Sway. Before that, it was like poetry readings. And
what was Sway?
It stood for Some Wonderful Entertainment. So he, you know, it's something like, it's like this wonderful thing. And at the same time, you want to punch someone in the face.
Right. Okay. All right. No,
Some Wonderful Entertainment.
Yeah. That's
but I mean, his politics were always bang on. So I had a hard time. I like to talk about love. You know what I mean? Like, rather than hate, there's so much good stuff to talk about.
Sure.
So yeah.
Okay, no, that's fair. Now, did you have any other artistic interests growing up besides music? Did you get into film or anything?
No. I mean, I like movies.
You like movies, but you didn't get into them.
No, I was just like, you know, that's for other people. That's like the magic. Everything's magical. I mean, I'm definitely a visual artist. I mean, I definitely like to play with visual arts. You know?
Yeah. Okay. Now, you're involved in a movie though, Porch Stories, right?
I am now. Yeah, it's true.
Well, what is this?
What is this all about?
What is this Porch Stories thing about?
It's director Sarah Goodman's movie. She's really awesome lady from Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it was just an email. You know, an email saying, "Hey, can I give your email to my friend's friend?"
Right.
And I didn't know where it would lead.
And where did it lead?
It led to like a kind of a really kind of beautifully shot, thoughtful piece. You know what I mean? Like you know, it's hard for me to gauge what it is because I'm in it. But like, I know that it doesn't seem like I ruined it. And also, it isn't like totally embarrassing, you know what I mean? And then actually it looks beautiful and it's you know, so I'm really proud of her.
You have a couple of roles in this film, so to speak. I mean, you're an actor in the film, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're an actor and then you also did the soundtrack?
Yeah. I did it with Laura Barrett.
Right.
Who the impressive Kalimba virtuoso.
Who can play pretty much anything she wants.
Yeah, and she's a really advanced musician. But in the movie, we play ex-bandmates.
What is the movie about? I haven't seen the movie.
It's really about a young woman who's kind of like, you know, just trying to figure herself out. That's really what it's about. And she's about to marry a guy, and then she bumps into her ex-boyfriend, and she reconsiders her life.
Okay. And you play the young woman?
Yeah, I play the young woman. I wish.
Are you the ex-boyfriend?
I'm the ex-boyfriend. Oh. And so we jam a little bit in the movie, and we sat around a lot, as one does.
Wait, is Laura an actress in the movie as well?
She's the lead.
Oh, man. Okay, see, I've been kind of following a little bit.
Oh, wow. It's all her. It's like she did an amazing job, and it's like, you know, like I'm in, you know, 60% of the movie, like she's in 90, you know what I mean? Like it's about her.
Wait a minute, that comes to 150%. I don't...
It's a really... It's, you get your, you know, there's a lot of...
Take a summer school or something. I don't understand. Lot,
you have to, yeah, like it's, you know, yeah. They overlap. A lot of those percentages overlap.
Okay, I understand.
It's like circles inside other circles.
Okay. Okay, so this is a new... Would you want to do this again? You had a good time?
Yeah, I had a... You know, that's a tough question. I had a good time. It's not hard to answer. But it's definitely cool.
You found it stressful, didn't you?
No, it wasn't stressful. Just like it's like sometimes people are like, hey, you're still playing music, hey, you enjoy it. I'm like, that's a tough question to answer. You know, like
sure.
Sometimes I really get into it.
Yeah, but okay. All right. So you've been making music.
It was definitely cool. It was a very cool experience. It was whatever process I went through was really fascinating. It was at a time in my life too when stuff in my personal life was already like sort of crumbling and we were about to move. And also, you know, my character is kind of me, but it's kind of other people I know. And so, and then whatever sort of like brainwashing boot camp they put you through making a movie, it really works. So it really opens you up. And,
yeah. Yeah.
And so it was fascinating. If I had the opportunity to act in another thing that was, you know, I do it, but it's sort of like, you know, I got lucky that I'm in this thing that's really beautiful, right?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
I'm sorry to hear your personal life was crumbling. That's not good.
That's okay. You know, like it's all for the, everything's good.
Okay.
It was a nice, it was a better balance.
Now you have released solo records or you are going to release another one. I know this might be a stupid question. And you also, well, I was going to say, how do you know when something is meant for By Divine Right or for something else? But you... I've already kind of established that. No, actually, I actually don't know the answer to this question, even at this point in the interview. How do you figure that out when you know that something's for Jose and something's for BDR?
It's funny because it's a new thing, but ultimately, it's morphed from one thing to the other, and it's been more vague. Where I will just try a song, and see what it's like. Right now, the three of us are putting together the next record, and it's just, I guess. I don't know, Vish.
You don't know.
It's a mystery. But I just did a new solo record, and there is one new By Divine Right song on it.
Oh, okay.
And Lish and Jordy came in and recorded that with me. And it's one song that I play by myself sometimes and once sometimes with them, which is the only one.
Yeah, what is that song? I think I've seen this happen live.
Maybe.
Maybe I'll find out when I hear the records.
Yeah, oh, that one. Maybe not. I don't think we've played it live that often. But I got them to play it on the record. It's really exciting. I mean, I guess mostly rock and roll music is By Divine Right.
Sure, yeah.
You know, and then my solo stuff is getting... The most successful of my solo stuff for me is the stuff where I'm whispering.
Yeah.
And that would be hard to pull off with BDR.
Now, do you have any timelines for these releases?
Yeah, it'll all be next year. Like my solo EP, I guess it's funny. You know how things are so soft, right? And it could be a reflection of the sort of like infrastructure, you know, like where I'm at. But because my solo EP was released in June digitally, but the vinyl is coming in the fall.
Oh, so. Okay.
And then it's like a 10-inch vinyl. But my solo album is, you know, I'm going to, mix it this fall, so it's slated for next year. And then the BDR, the new BDR record is TBD.
Okay.
There's one coming out now. There's one coming out on vinyl in the next month, which is Speak and Spell US, which we did, which was done a year ago, but it just took a long time to get it together. And we're so pumped about it, though. And then, but yeah, we're going to be recording a new one this fall, winter. It's like the I'm moving in a month, moving back to the West End, and then we enter into the next thing.
Okay, yeah, you're in the Beaches or something now?
I am. I know it was a tragic strategic move, bad strategy. I mean, it's beautiful here. It's simple to, we lucked out and found a beautiful house. It's simple to see how we made that slip, because it smells nice here and it's, you can see the stars, and it's very, it's beautiful street. We have really nice trees, but it's difficult to be part of people's lives when you live an hour away.
Yeah, yeah, I hear you. Okay. Now, this Divine at 25 concert at the Harborfront, I imagine that some things are surprises or will be surprises, but can you, what's it going to be? Who's going to be there? What is this thing going to be like?
It's a big show. It's like a long show. It's like 2 hours. It's a long set. And it's just like a cavalcade of, we're going to find out just how long I can go for. That's what it's going to be, because it's like, I don't think I've ever played this many songs in a row.
And but, you mentioned you're just kind of, are you going in chronological order?
No,
oh,
we're
okay,
not.
Okay.
We are, there's, I don't know exactly how many different versions of the band there are, maybe like 5 loose versions, playing with lots of different itinerations in there. And then, is it itinerations? Iterations?
Iterations.
Iterations.
Yeah.
It's not itinerations?
No, that would be like a weird blending of itinerary and just vibrations, I guess. It's like,
and vibrations.
If there's like turbulence plane or something.
There's been lots of many vibrations in my band.
Right.
And and you know, like I didn't. This wasn't my plan. I wouldn't agree to do this. I wouldn't ever call anyone up and dig this. This is what we should do.
Whose idea was never, it?
It was Jonathan Campbell from Harborfront's idea.
Oh, okay.
He made this happen, and I spent like the first few weeks just like in a panic, so I kind of, you know, like answering emails were like, yeah, the plans are going great, but nothing had really happened,
right?
Not contacting anyone.
Who's actually going to take part? Can you tell us?
Everyone is taking part in it from around 97 on, with a few exceptions. Colleen is in Europe, so she can't play.
Mm-hmm.
But all the juicy. The most notorious of my band members will be there, which is very sweet.
Now, I mentioned Feist and Brendan Canning. Is there someone else juicy?
Yeah. Brian Borchard.
Brian Borchard, yeah.
And Dylan Hudecki, Cam Giroux, Johnny Hall, me, Jordy and Lish, Sue Hayduk, Cam Bull, Mike Small, I think Darcy and Jay from the Mellowgroves.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to guess here.
No, it's
I
fine.
I might be missing some people.
It sounds impressive. It sounds like a lot of work, and it sounds like it's going to be impressive.
I think it's just going to be sweet. I thought it was going to be a lot of work, but it really wasn't, to my great relief.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a big chore to like play this music. It just seemed really... really, really sweet to see everyone. Everyone had a real laugh.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like creepy or anything either. You know, it's obviously like, it's a little bit, like I wouldn't dream this, right? And I'm not into like, there's a lot of songs I don't play anymore, and I wouldn't choose to play them at a regular By Divine Right show. So it's not really a regular By Divine Right show. Like Lish and Jordy and I are going to play.
Yeah.
And then I'll morph into of one version of the band, and I'll morph into another version of the band, and we'll morph into like a big group, and then we'll morph into another version, and we'll morph into a big group, and then we'll see whether or not I can do 2 hours on a bathroom, that kind of thing.
Are you not going to take any breaks? You're just 2 hours straight through?
2 hours straight, yeah.
Now, you mentioned that it was going to be a lot of work for you, and that's nice to hear. But you very kindly invited me to participate in this thing in some capacity.
I did. It came. You were. You know what, Bisha? I think you might have been like the first, outside of me, Jordy and Lish, you're the first person I talked to. I know it sounds retarded, but I just like but it's the truth. And at the time, I really am doing really well. But at the same time, I am juggling new stuff.
Uh-huh.
And at the time, after having been at Lanya Vanya and everything, that really meant a lot to me that time there, and to Lish and Jordy, and then the shows that happened after. Since then, it just seemed like something changed. So as soon as I found out about the show, we talked about it, and I talked about it with the band and with Jonathan. And the first thing I thought was if Fish will do this, then I feel like I'll be able to reach out to everyone else. I don't know if that sounds retarded.
It seems a little weird. I'm flattered, I guess. I don't know what kind of linchpin I'm supposed to be for this thing.
It's funny, right? I just thought because you're just so funny and charming. when I saw you in Newfoundland, and at the same time, you just seem really genuine and authentic. And to me, I'm entering the gray zone of a greatest hits show.
Yeah.
And that wanted to keep it. If you were there somehow, it would mean that it wasn't I wasn't going astray. You wouldn't be are you fucking for real? No chance. Good luck. Good luck on your career sabotage.
No. I think it's going to be really fun. I'm still unclear exactly what I'm supposed to do. Can you tell me what I'm supposed to do?
I just thought maybe that you could just, I don't know. What do you think? I thought maybe you could come up and be like, hey, pay attention. Stop eating. Go eat your hot dog somewhere else.
Just want me to go up there and scold people. That's what you thought.
And just maybe, I don't know, we've yet to talk about it. So I thought I don't know. What do you feel like?
I don't know. Am I supposed to introduce each iteration or as you call it, itineration? I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
Wouldn't that be really complicated?
As long as I have the names, I can be was this version. And that gives you at least 15 to 20 seconds to just resettle, reset.
Yeah. I guess that's the plan. Yeah. So in a way, I have a set list that I should show you.
Yeah, please do, because I don't know what the hell I'm doing. I know I'm supposed to be there by the afternoon, but I actually don't know. But I'm flattered, and I'm going to have a good time. It's going to be great. I'm glad I get a good seat, I presume, or place to watch this amazing thing unfold.
Amazing. Oh, that's very sweet of you, Vish.
Yeah.
And I'm very sincere when for me you were a strength. I was okay, Fish wants to do this, and I'm gonna do the next round. And then, and in the midst of it, I've been in the studio on my own a couple times and played shows and been with other bands. I've been out west so I've done reaching out in stages to people, right? And it's just no way for me to reach out to absolutely everyone. It sounds retarded, but I just...
Yeah.
No, and I've also been pointed out that I say the word retarded too many times, so I'd like to
You want to apologize. Retract that a little bit?
I'd like to retract that a little bit. Apologize.
That's fine. And you're also beyond this. Okay, so I'm going to we'll figure this out in the next couple of days. I don't know what the hell we're going to do. You're coming back to Hillside. That's fun.
I'm so excited about that. And again, I would just like to thank you for that show.
And just say, I suggested it. I didn't book you. I just suggested you maybe would be a good...
Well, I mean, I love the opportunity to go back and play Hillside again. And I can't wait.
Okay.
Because last time I played was so fun.
You played it a few times, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I saw the last one, which was in 2005?
I think it was 2003.
2003, yeah. It was quite a while ago. Okay, well, this is great. I'm glad it's 25th anniversary year. It's great. So it's going to be fun. Now, I want to let people know, once again, By Divine Right are celebrating their 25th anniversary with a big show at Toronto's Harbourfront Centre on Canada Day, July 1st. And they'll also be at the Hillside Festival the weekend of July 24th, as I mentioned. And for more information about these things, people should visit bydivineright.ca, which, by the way, currently says you're not playing any shows.
I know, you know, so I should get on that, right?
Maybe. The show's in a couple of days.
Right. First,
the big show, the Harborfront Center show, it's coming up pretty soon.
I know. And the band's ready. And it says stuff on our Facebook page.
Yeah, yeah. I know. I saw that. Yeah.
I can't brag of being like some kind of business mastermind. No. I have good ideas and I have good suggestions and stuff like that. But like, you know, I'm rehearsed. My gear works. I have some pretty good friends.
Yeah, now you just gotta remember the login and password of your website, and then you'll be
my
fine.
My kids are well fed. I did the groceries, picked up Stu from the airport today.
Yeah, you mentioned that. That's good. No, and everything's gonna be fine. I just wanted, again, buydivineright.ca for more.
.ca is totally useless.
That's just everyone go there and you'll learn nothing. That's
just Google. The Google's better. Like. People probably do have really sweet websites.
No, they mostly, know. Everyone just Googles everything. You're right. All right, you're right. Now, is there a song we can play right now that from your By Divine Right catalog that makes sense?
Oh, my God. I have no idea. I have no answer for you.
Do you want to play something really new or something kind of from the...
My favorite sort of BDR tune, newish tune, is More Thorns. It's just very sweet, and it's like a simple... song, and yet something deep about it. I love it, and it's the emergence of Lish, you know, as a beautiful singer. And
okay,
the sound of Jordy Dines.
It's your new band. It's your band. That's what you want. Yeah, okay, yeah. Let's hear it. This is More Thorns by Divine Right. Jose, this was really fun, and I wish you the best of luck with everything. And we'll see you soon with some kind of itinerary or whatever for me to do.
Can't wait. The itinerary of the iterations.
Oh.
Hey, thanks again for checking out Creative Control with Vish Khanna. You can email me about the show at creativecontrol933@gmail.com. That's creative with a K, control with a K, 933@gmail.com. You can also follow our Twitter at Vish Creative, VishKreative. And you can also like our Facebook page. A version of this show airs on CFRU in Guelph every Wednesday at noon Eastern. And you can listen to that online at CFRU.ca, or if you're in the KW region, at 93.3 FM in Guelph. You can also sign up for the weekly mailing list for the podcast and the show at vishkhanna.com, and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. I believe that is everything I wanted to tell you. Thank you once again.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.